This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here this afternoon. Well, Sunday, Douglas County lost one of its most well-known people, Frank Moore, passing away at age 98, just about a week shy of his 99th birthday. And we could go on for quite a long number of episodes of Inside Douglas County with a lot of folks in the community that have been impacted by Frank Moore's life. We got to hear Frank yesterday from his final radio interview bit over a year ago, but today from a couple different perspectives. Matt Hill, first of all, executive director of the Douglas Timber Operators, in this first segment. I'm curious, Matt, because you've got a long time background here, though you were gone for a number of years. How old were you, and how did you first meet Frank Moore?
Well, I knew about Frank Moore since I was young. My grandparents were neighbors of his on Mosier Street downtown before he went up to Steamboat, and of course I grew up going to Steamboat, hearing his name, but it wasn't really until maybe around 2002, 2004 that my dad passed away, and I'm like, I think I need to go meet Frank Moore. So I found his phone number, called him up, and he said, "Get up here, young man," and I just started going up and making trips to visit him.
Well, and obviously, given your knowledge of the North Umpqua area, as you got to know him and as you saw more about what he'd done now and in past years, talk about his impacts on so many things.
Well, first of all, I mean, Frank just knows so much about the North Umpqua, the river itself, the history, and we spent probably most of our time just comparing stories and looking at pictures and piecing together history and driving around and looking at things and just really having a fun time. You know, sharing that experience. In terms of his impact, I mean, it's incredible, and you could go on forever. But I mean, just one thing I want to point out is, you know, back in the 70s, he was looking at, you know, timber practices up there, and things were pretty aggressive, and he saw that it was having an impact on the watershed, on fisheries, and advocated for change, and that change happened. And forest practices changed, and he really set in motion that adaptive management to look at the science and adapt our management practices to make sure that stream temperature fisheries are being protected. And that momentum is still playing out today. I mean, right now the timber industry and environmentalists some of them have worked out a private forestry accord to further advance those regulations, but I think so much of that was really set in motion by Frank Moore a generation ago.
And to realize that impacted not just the North Umpqua, but so much more.
Yeah, all of Oregon with the Oregon Forest Practices Act, and of course, you know, he continued to be active in conservation interests, until Sunday, and he was a force to be reckoned with, but never an enemy, never someone that was on the other side of the table. He was willing to talk to anyone, and preferred progress over a battle.
What about the impact he had on fishing?
Well, other than being a legend and just being the preeminent fly fisherman, I think personally, He revolutionized my roll cast. He had a Frank Moore special cast that is kind of proprietary. I spent hours up there in his pond working on that, and of course just drawing attention to kind of the spirituality of fly fishing. And there's no better place to practice that religion, if you will, than on the North Umpqua River. And he was really the founder of that.
You know, one of my regrets, I think it was about a decade ago that I met him, and at that time, after I recovered from the handshake, he at the end of our interview, asked me to come up and fish with him. Well, I didn't fish, and for decades I didn't even eat fish, so I didn't really see a point of doing that. And you know how many people since then have said, you said no to Frank Ward fish? And I said, well, I didn't say no. I just didn't ever say yes. But looking back now, it's like, gosh, that was a dumb move on my part. That would have been incredible. It seems like Frank, in watching things in the past few years in particular, really had the respect in the ear of timber folks, of the environmental community, of tribal folks, and that's pretty rare.
It's entirely rare, and I don't know anyone who commanded that level of presence and respect and cooperation. I think his breed of conservation was pure in heart. It was dedicated to the resource he loved, the North Umpqua River. And anyone who shared that love, he would sit down with and talk to. And I think a lot of special interests on both sides sometimes lose that focus and lose the ability to find something common to talk about. But I think for Frank Moore, especially if you were a fisherman, it didn't matter if you were from the timber side or the environmental side, you had something to talk about, and you had a common interest, and I think that's where he really was able to connect with people in that realm. And in the last few years, of course, the Jeannie and Frank Moore Wild Steelhead Sanctuary Bill was enacted by Congress. It was not opposed by the timber sector, and that is a testament to Frank, his relationship with this community, but also the flexibility of that management in that area, and it'll be something that carries on for a very long time.
What are some of your favorite memories of Frank?
Well, I mean, any time visiting his home, and it's Frank and Jeannie, that's the experience, and that you had up in their cabin, and just the warmth and generosity and the just high beam of love that he shone on everyone who came up there and made them feel like they were the most important person in the world. From a fishing perspective, the last time we went fishing, he was probably 90 or late 80s, and that guy was pulling me around the river, holding me up, keeping me from drowning. I didn't know what I was doing, but he had a solid footing on those slippery rocks up there and held me up, and I think that was his strength, is he held a lot of people up like that.
How will the area be different without him?
Well, the world will never be the same without him, but it's a better place because of him.
Frank Moore really had a big impact on so many people. Matt Hill, one of those, executive director of the Douglas Timber Operators. Matt, thanks for coming in this afternoon.
Honored to be here. Thank you.
12:44 up next, our second segment. We'll talk to Rick Dancer and Eugene, who interviewed Frank many times for KEZI Television and subsequent times as well. Back with more, part two in a moment on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 12:46, Lars Larson coming at 1. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County program. Segment 2, another person who spent a lot of time with Frank Moore over the years, Rick Dancer, well known for his many years at KZI-TV and now working in video and podcasting and other areas up in Eugene. Rick, when and how did you first get to know Frank Moore?
Wow. You know, it has to be back in the 90s because I had a mullet. and I don't remember how I'd heard about him, but I was always doing stories on, I did a thing called Oregon People and a segment for KEZI. And we'd heard about Frank Moore because he was the father of the Forest Practices Act. He'd worked under Tom McCall. He'd owned the Steamboat Inn and knew Hemingway and all these movie stars who came in there, and he was a famous fly fisherman. So I remember going down and doing this shoot with him, and that's the first time. And that was before, like, he was kind of a media darling, you know. I think he all of a sudden OPB started doing everything with him, and he, you know, then there's the specials and all that kind of stuff. And this was back when he was kind of just getting known. And one of the funniest stories is he'd also had built this log house by hand with him, you know, just himself. And so that all became part of the story we were doing on him. And we were up shooting it, and I said, I need you to go down to the river and take some video of you fly fishing. So he takes us down near his house. We get down there. He's fly fishing, doing his thing. We get all our video. We're leaving, and he comes up to the road, and an Oscar Mayer Wienermobile pulls up. And on the side of the North Umpqua, I mean, you think about the Umpqua and how beautiful it is, and here's this crappy wiener car. The door opens up like a spaceship, how they do on those Wienermobiles. And these two college students came out, and we were shooting at the time. It just happened to be, you know, and so they had interaction. And next thing you know, Frank says, why don't you guys come up to my home and have some cheese sandwiches? So the next shot is this Oscar Mayer Wienermobile pulling up the hill to his log house, Jeannie walking out of the house and going, oh my gosh, what's this? And the door opening and two college kids coming out of a wiener.
Oh my.
We wow. got every award that year on that story. We got best news writing, best, you know, everything, because it was such a natural and amazing story like that. And yeah. And then, you know, in the last few years, I've gone back and done more stories on Frank and Jeannie. And so it's a real loss for Oregon, you know, because they're special together. You know what I mean? And Frank never hardly ever mentions himself without mentioning Jeannie, which yep. I think is a real classic thing for a couple, because he understands that, you know, they're one. They're individual, but they are one.
And, you know, I recall back in 2015, I was up at a private thing. It was kind of a photo op, honestly, when Senator Wyden presented him with the initial draft of the legislation that later got changed a bit and 4 years later got adopted by Congress for the designating the section of the North Umpqua for them. The original draft, though, was the Frank Moore da-da-da-da-da. And there's like six people there, including me, and Senator Wyden and the Moores, and very politely but emphatically, Frank wagged his finger right in Wyden's face and said, now, Ron, it's got to have Jeannie's name on it. You've got to change this.
That is Frank Moore. That is classic Frank Moore. That's awesome.
Yeah.
He was, I think you look back at the people, especially right now with everything going on in the world and in our state, and leadership and things happening, and you think Frank is one of the good guys, one of the people who truly saw Oregon. How do you put this? He was a leader in Oregon without wanting to be a leader. He just led by example and who he was. And he talked to me once after I ran for Secretary of State and lost, and he said, you know, I wanted you to do something with that, Rick, but you know what? You can do just as much out here and cause just as much problem as you can in there. And I thought, yeah, that's true, Frank. But he was like, the most gentle, strong man. One of my favorite things, there's a video we just aired the other night on our show. And it was when, you know, I didn't grow up with, you know, I grew up with my dad, who's a good guy, but they weren't huggers. Well, Frank just touched you. I mean, he was like one of those guys who he was not afraid to touch another dude, you know, and there's shots of him and he has his arm around my waist and he's walking with me. And I felt like I was with this, like my grandpa or something, you know, and when he's fly fishing with me, he was showing me how to cast and he had his whole body wrapped around me. And I just relax, Rick, just let it go and let it be. Don't fight it, you know? And he was just one of those people who led by example. And I think I'm going to miss him. And I know Jeannie's going to miss him. And I think, you know, I know Roseburg and Douglas County and Oregon, you know, it's going to be a long time before we have another Frank Moore come along and impact the state the way he did in so many ways.
You've interviewed scores, probably hundreds of people over your career. What was some of the special aspects of talking to Frank versus a lot of other interviews?
You know, because Frank made it personal. You know, when I walked away from that interview that we just recently did, you know, it was a couple of years ago, but I felt like I went back and watched the video and I got so much great advice from it, because he wasn't a politician and he wasn't somebody who was trying to help you. He was just offering you what he did. He goes, you know, Rick, you know, we go through hard times, and Jeannie and I have been through some real tough times. And that was prior to him losing his home to the fire. So the very home he built and all the awards he got were burned up in this fire. And he still smiled. And yes, it hurt, but he wasn't non-human. I know it hurt them, but he also picked up. And Jeannie said this to me in the interview I did with her too. She was the same way. And she said, Rick, you just learn that, bad things happen and you pick yourself up and you move and you just keep going. You just don't stop. So I think, with a lot of people, you do an interview and they're telling you what they think you want to hear. Frank Moore told you like it was. And he was, just one of those wise. He's like my Moses, He was like the if I was going to sit down with Abraham or Moses or even God, it would be a conversation like that, where it was not in your face and not telling you, here's what you need to do better. It was, what I did was, and that kind of thing. And I really appreciate that about him. And Kyle, I've done thousands and thousands of interviews. He's one I walked away from changed. And he's one I walked away from with a relationship. And my wife and I both, Frank and Jeannie Moore, they love me and I love them. And the last time I talked to his daughter and said, I actually called, I heard that he was passing. And I said, would you go in and tell Frank goodbye? And she said, Rick, he already died. And I went, okay, then I'm going to assume that he already knows that. But when I'd call there, they got such a kick out of doing that. I did an interview with the two of them a couple months ago. And it was right after the fires, and after they lost everything. And, they were just still smiling. And, they talked about how it hurt, but they were still smiling. And when he was done, he goes, now you and Kathy, you take care of Kathy. You be good to her. That's the kind of that those kind of real people, something to strive for me. When I grow up, I want to be like Frank Moore. And when Kathy and I grow together old, I want to be like Frank and Jeannie Moore.
It's interesting. I think you have said kind of what I have thought over time. Of all the people that we've both talked to for radio or television or in person, whatever, he's one of the, right at the top where you're so glad that you actually got to know them.
Yeah, he made you feel special, not in a way like, you talk that way to everybody. He really knew how to find your heart and your soul, and then he spoke to it. And there's not a lot of people in the world with that ability, with that much humanity, that they care enough to do that. And the very first story I did with him, the whole analogy became, Frank Moore is a fisher of men. He throws out his line. He catches different people. He plays catch and release, but he doesn't just catch the pretty ones. He catches anyone that will come into his net, and then he loves on them, and then he releases them into the world. So Frank was the ultimate fisherman, fisherman of men, fisherman of fish, and he knew how to work with people. He didn't work people. And I think if more people in this world could learn how to work with people and stop trying to work them, maybe Oregonians, we could all get back to being rugged individualists and doing the things that we believe to be true, and not be as peeking over our fences at our neighbors and trying to figure out what they're doing wrong, and instead mind our own business. But you mind your own business, and then you live your life as a good neighbor to the people around you, and you serve your state, not yourself. Frank wouldn't know how to serve himself. He only served other people.
And as we talked about in the first segment, he also had this unique aspect of having respect from timber, from environmental, from tribal folks, and could talk to anybody.
Oh, yeah, dude. Well, Kyle, you know this too. Like when you looked at him, that big old, what I will never forget is the big honking smile. How his eyes, when Frank smiled, it's like his whole face contorted and his eyes disappeared because his smile was so big, and he laughed all the time, and then he'd slap your knee. You know what I'm talking about, don't you, Rick?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. It's like the old grandpa who just loved you even when you were a jerk. You know what I mean? If you were a jerk, he'd tell you off, I bet you. But I've never heard him do that. But I bet he, I'm sure he was firm. He had strong beliefs. but he was also, he would never let those get in the way of a relationship with people. And that's what Oregonians need to take from Frank Moore, is we're all here and we're in this and we better work together or it's never going to work.
Final thoughts about Frank Moore in the last 30 seconds.
I hope that I can, I would love to be like Frank. I would love to, that's my goal, is not to be Frank, but to be my version of Frank. And I think I'm one of the luckiest people on the planet because I wish I could have introduced him to both of my boys. Because I think Frank, you couldn't walk away without feeling like you would touch the hem of the servant of God. And I think that's what Frank was. He was the guy, he was that close to God that when you touched his robe, he would feel it and God would know. That's what I think. That's just my opinion, but that's what I think. And I know when we get to the end of this thing, he's going to be standing there waiting with us.
Rick Dancer talking about Frank Moore. We could go on all day, but we're out of time. Rick, thanks for being on today.
Hey, thanks for asking me on. I'd love being able to talk about him. I appreciate you letting me do that.
All right, you bet. 1259 Inside Douglas County, News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.